is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
Welcome to Rogue Talk. I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for August 25th, 2017. And we've got a great show planned for you today. My featured interview today, and yes, I did say featured interview. Haven't had a lot of interviews this summer, but hopefully that'll change as we head into the fall and into the start of the school year. But my featured interview today will be Pastor Charlie Grenade from Grace Baptist Church. And we're going to talk about the a program he's running, the Unstoppables of Rogue River. And we're also going to talk about his vision for the Rogue River community. And so I'm looking forward to talking to Charlie. But before we get to that, let's look at some of the things of local interest here to our Rogue River community. Well, did you see the eclipse this week? Of course, we talked about it a little bit last week, and actually more than a little bit. And it was a fun event. Unfortunately for those of us here in Rogue River, there was quite a bit of smoke in the air and even some clouds in the air, but it didn't keep us from seeing it. I got some decent pictures of the eclipse. I had actually planned on using a welding helmet to do a lot of my viewing of the eclipse, but unfortunately I own what they call a auto darkening welding helmet, so it works electronically, and the sensor was just not quite sensitive enough with all the smoke and the clouds. It was very unpredictable. It didn't want to stay darkened, so I didn't want to damage my eyes, so I had to ditch the helmet and just share the glasses with my kids and with my wife. And so I got a few pictures, and maybe I'll throw one or two of those up on the Rogue Talk page when I get a chance. But it was a fun event. Of course, it was sold as this major traffic event, and not so much here in the valley, but up north, you know, around Salem and all the way across the state into different areas. And we talked about that last week, but wasn't as quite as bad as they were saying it would be. But in a few localized areas, it was the traffic was really bad. But overall, pretty cool event, and kind of fun to kind of hang out. I had to go to work eventually, so I watched the first half of it, and then I headed off to work. But it was fun to, with a couple of my kids and my wife, to take turns looking at the eclipse and kind of watching it progress, and kind of a fun event. So we all enjoyed that this week. In some other local news, and some sports news, the Rogue River Junior Senior High School, the junior high volleyball coach, Nadine Roper, will step in to serve as the interim coach for the high school volleyball team. Coach Cole Cow, who we've had on the show last year, and hopefully we'll get him back again this year, had a pretty serious injury to his back, and he has a pending surgery, or an impending surgery, you might say. And so Nadine has agreed to step in as the interim coach. And of course, she's coached at the middle school and now junior high school for the past 10 years. So she definitely has some experience coaching volleyball, and I think she'll do a fine job. And most of the kids obviously know her and have gone through her program, so they should respond well to her coaching style. And so we wish good luck to Nadine as the high school season approaches. And in some other news locally, of course, this past week was the Josephine County Fair, or actually last week, but it got over at the end of last week. And a couple of Rogue River girls made a good showing there. Haley Fredenberg, who recently graduated from Grants Pass High School, won the Supreme Grand Champion for swine. Her pig Harper was auctioned for a record $50 a pound. And this is Haley's final year in the FFA and 4-H auction. And of course, she showed her pig through the 4-H program. Actually, out in Williams is where she's a 4-H member. And also a local girl, Amy Barnwell, who will be an eighth grader at the junior senior high school this year, was the reserve grand champion in mature breeding ewe. And so we wanted to give a shout out to both Haley and to Amy. Good job there at the fair. We're proud of your accomplishments there. And if you want to read the whole write-up about these two young ladies, there's a great article in the Rogue River Press in this week's copy of the Rogue River Press, so you can grab a copy and read a great article about these two standout young women here in the Rogue River community. And we've got a whole lot I want to cover with Pastor Grenade, so we're going to cut this first segment fairly short here. We'll take a quick break, and I'll be back with Pastor Charlie Grenade. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Broadcasting to Rogue River, Gold Hill, Weimer, and beyond. 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Let's start with Major League Baseball action from yesterday. The red-hot Cleveland Indians beat Boston 13-6. Indians outfielder Jay Bruce says he is impressed with his new team since coming over from the Mets.
What I said since I've been here is that the offense can come from anywhere on this team. We're a deep club, and we take professional at-bats, get on base, run the base as well. It's a deep and a very complete lineup.
Hey, you want to turn down that music? It was Detroit over the Yankees 10-6. Tampa Bay beat Toronto 2-0. White Sox 5, Minnesota 1, and the Rangers over the Angels 3-0. In the National League yesterday, Arizona stopped the Mets 3-2. Miami 9, Philadelphia 8. The Dodgers over Pittsburgh 5-2. Reds 4, Cubs 2. San Diego beat St. Louis 4-3. Interleague play, Colorado 3, Kansas City 2. Nats over Houston 5-4-11. This is SRN Sports.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and joining me in the studio is Pastor Charlie Grenade from Grace Baptist Church. Charlie, welcome to Rogue Talk.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, of course, the reason I've got you here was I had seen on Facebook in the past several weeks over the summer that you have a program called The Unstoppables of Rogue River. And so I definitely want to talk about that, but we have some other things we're going to talk about today, too. But let's start with you. Let's get to know you a little bit. So just tell me about what you do there at Grace, and maybe, what's your where you came from before you got to Rogue River.
Sure, I'm from L.A., Lower Alabama. can you imagine growing up with the last name Grenade? In college, I used to go up to girls and say, "Hi, I'm Charlie Grenade. If you go out with me, you'll have a blast." And it never worked. But anyway, my wife married me anyway. But so basically, I grew up in Alabama, and I've lived kind of all over the country. I've had a small business doing team building events for corporations, and I also had a career in medical sales, and then I felt called to go into vocational ministry, and so we have moved all over the country, but we've been here about a year and a half, and we absolutely love it here, and we love being able to go. Like my wife, she's kind of crazy. She gets up at 5 a.m. and goes jogging every morning with another gal, and it's just beautiful to be able to get outdoors and be able to enjoy the scenery, and we love the folks here as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, do you have any kids?
Have two kids, 8 and 3, and they are a handful, Drew and Caden. They're lots of fun. We also have a little Shih Tzu who's also a boy. So I kid my wife. I say, "Hey, Brooke, I'm sorry, but you live with a bunch of cavemen."
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, absolutely. Until my son was born, mine was a house full of girls. My first two kids were girls, so I was the outnumbered one in that case. But I feel for your wife.
Yep,
absolutely. So, we So tell me a little bit about Grace Baptist. Are there other, you have other pastors there? Are you the, you're the senior pastor, is that right?
I am the senior pastor. You know, they'll let anybody be a pastor these days.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, they ask like 10 different people and they all turned them down. Then they called me.
That's what Evan, that's what Evan told me here at the station. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. You know, right now we're actually looking for a children's pastor. So we're looking for a full-time associate children's pastor. But yeah, we, you know, we do have some part-time folks. We have a part-time youth minister, Brett White's doing a great job. He's a cabinet maker. That's his other career. And we also have some administrative people. We've got a part-time preschool and nursery person, and Marty's doing a Longtain's doing a great job there. And Robin Stone is our church administrator. And then we've got Deanna Gernacki.
Yes,
who you know well.
Deanna's a family member.
is helping us out as well with some things around the church. We've got some volunteer staff and so forth. We have a guy who's getting ready to help us a couple of days a week. He's a retired pastor from Mount Shasta, and he's actually going to be kind of like a mentor to me. So,
cool.
So that'd be really good. But yeah, we've got a lot of lay people who volunteer and do different things. We have our senior pastor to senior adults, Jim McKinney, is doing a great job, great with visiting folks in the hospital and so forth. So yeah, we've got you know, a lot of different folks who volunteer. Yeah, so, but if you know anybody that does children's ministry, send them our way.
Okay,
so.
we'll do that. Well, I'll try not to cherry pick anybody from the church here. I'm sure Evan wouldn't appreciate that.
Probably
not. Well, that's great. Now, you mentioned that you have some experience with some life coaching. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So several years ago, my wife and I started doing some marriage coaching through a group called Marriage Team. And what they do is they use a coaching process to help couples. And it's basically where you don't look back into the past much. You just basically say, okay, here's where we are going forward. How can we help you make better decisions? Because obviously this isn't working here. Let's try a different approach. And so you ask probing and thought-provoking questions. And through that, people come up with some better solutions about how to, you know, do things better in the future. So that's sort of how I got introduced to it. But then as I started doing some extra studies with the International Coaching Federation, ICF, they have different levels of credentialing. You take a lot of classes and so forth. But I really got turned on to this idea of helping people become all they can be. And through that process, we were actually able to help my wife and I, but primarily me, we were able to help a guy named Garrett Gilkey get into the NFL.
Oh.
Garrett was a guy at a D2 school. This was in rural Nebraska. And it was kind of a big deal for any of the scouts to come out and see them because it's a hard place to get to. He didn't know how to set goals. He was discouraged. He was tempted to use steroids. And we basically sat down and I laid out, you know, what it means to set goals, how to have the right kind of vision, how to be disciplined. And lo and behold, that guy got drafted in the 7th round by one of the worst teams in the NFL, the Cleveland Browns.
they're in the NFL?
Yeah, oh, they are. That's right. And then he got cut, I think, the year after that and got picked up by Tampa Bay, one of the other worst teams. But he got to block for Johnny Manziel. He was a left guard, right guard. And he got to block for James Winston.
Oh, okay.
So that was interesting. But anyway, all that to say, that really turned me on to coaching to help bring out the best in people. And since then, I've been able to help people kind of figure out their career path or their path through whatever kind of decision they're trying to make. And it's exciting. That's one of my real passions in life.
Yeah. Well, and that kind of leads us to the the main reason that I was bringing you here, which isn't necessarily the main thing we want to talk about today, but let's move on to the Unstoppables of Rogue River. What's your mission with that, and what's that all about?
Well, the Unstoppables is a club for kids and young adults 12 to 24 years of age, and the idea is to help come alongside these kids, these young people, because, you know, whether we like it or not, these folks are our future. And there are a lot of kids, maybe you've seen them walking up and down the street. They have no hope. You see it in their eyes. And the idea is to come alongside them because maybe they don't have the parents that care. Maybe they don't have a grandparent that cares. And the idea is to be able to encourage, to bring in speakers. That's one of the things we do. In fact, we're going to be on Tuesdays, once a month, we're going to be bringing in speakers to the high school, middle school, and they're going to be talking about the different things they do for a living. So we had two over the summer. We had Scott Anderson. He's a local Rogue River guy.
Yeah, I worked next to Scott when I was running the scoreboard at the high school, and he was coaching the boys. And I actually learned a lot about coaching from Scott. That was the best part about running the scoreboard, was being able to observe the coaches and the referees and Scott. I was coaching at the time at the middle school, and I learned from Scott clock management and saving your timeouts and those things. I got to know Scott fairly early on when I first moved here, and he's built an amazing business.
He's a winner. And so basically we wanted him to come in and talk about, like, what does it take to start a business? How do you overcome obstacles? Because I mean, he's a Rogue River guy. He didn't grow up wealthy, you know. We had kids, we had all kinds of kids that came to the library and they listened to him. In fact, one young guy wants to be a stockbroker when he grows up, you know, and he just doesn't know how to proceed. And so it's bringing in people like that to be able to set a vision, to be able to say, you know, I was in your shoes, but I was able to do it. You can do it too. And so the idea is, as we bring these people in, we're going to connect them, you know, various mentors. For instance, there's a kid that wants to be a paleontologist. And I had to look that up. I wasn't exactly sure what that was, you know.
All I know is dinosaurs.
right. They dig for dinosaur bones. Well, I'm thinking, man, how in the world are we going to find a paleontologist around here? And lo and behold, Rob Heilman went to school or had a friend in Missouri who is a paleontologist. He has his PhD. He teaches at a college there. And in the summertime, he digs for bones. And he has agreed to Skype in with us. So that's going to be one of the guys we bring in. We brought in some nurses to talk about what does it take to become a nurse? You know, around here, you know, a lot of folks are like, well, I just don't have money to even go to college. And so one of the gals who has just been accepted into nursing school came and shared her story. She said, look, I'm like you. I don't have any money, but this is how I'm doing it. And this is how I'm going to do it without any debt. I'm going to work my way through school. I'm going to go and become an LPN, and then I'm going to work for a while, then become an RN, and eventually get my four-year degree, and so forth. So and in fact, she even wants to go on to be a nurse practitioner, which is real exciting. So it's kind of sharing with these kids this idea that you can do it too. Look, I'm doing it. You know, I'm no better than you, and I can do it, and you can too. So that's the idea, is to create a big vision and to challenge people to be all they can be. Because, you know, if you think about it, we can either put our head in the sand and just, you know, just hope that, you know, nobody bothers us. Or we can say, how can we invest? You know, how can we invest? Because our community is going to look one way or the other depending on us, you know, investing in our kids. So that's what Unstoppables is all about.
Sure. And I think that's it's a great vision for the young people to have a program like this. You know, I know growing up, the push was, you know, you got to go to college, And college isn't for everybody.
No.
And there's so many careers that are excellent careers, not only in pay, but in just being a great thing to do, that don't require a four-year education.
Sure.
And
I'm not against
education by any means, but I think there's so many things, like, I mean, I have a landscape maintenance business. Now, I don't have employees, and I've chosen to do that. I could have built it up and had employees. Mm-hmm. That wasn't really what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But it's provided for you and I to be sitting here right now. I take most Fridays off so that I can do radio work. It's given me that kind of flexibility. It's provided for my family very well. It's gotten better every year. And so, you know, and I just recently had an electrician at the house, and he had an apprentice with him, and I thought, man, that's the perfect thing.
Absolutely.
This kid is learning, and he may not like it. Maybe he decides that's not for him, mm-hmm. but he didn't waste thousands of dollars going to college to find out that he's not in the position
where he didn't want to do that.
Where my daughter is. My daughter has a 4-year degree in economics. She doesn't want a job in economics. Mm-hmm. So she might, in a way, she might as well not have the degree at all because it's not serving her any purpose in her career at the moment. So she's actually going to go back to school and get her master's in what she's finally figured out that mm-hmm. she wants to mm-hmm. do. Now, she did it mostly without debt also, which is something, you know, I really like about what you said about this nurse or this girl that wants to be a nurse, rather, mm-hmm. doing it without debt. It would make Dave Ramsey proud.
He
talks about that a lot. And I believe in that. You know, mm-hmm. We've mm-hmm. been conditioned to think, oh, you have to have all these loans and stuff. And you don't.
That's true.
But on top of that, if your career doesn't involve a 4-year education and some sort of degree, there's other, mm-hmm. there's trade schools, there's apprenticeships,
really
there's, you can be an entrepreneur. I didn't take a single class related to landscaping.
Sure.
I've taken some since then, but when I became a landscaper, it was as an apprenticeship, basically. In fact, mm-hmm. I was hired at the time because I was good with customers, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and I was proficient enough in Spanish that I could communicate with most of the workers that mm-hmm. happened to be Mexican workers. Mm-hmm. I didn't know a thing about landscaping at the time. I was really an apprentice, but I was hired for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I love this kind of thing because I, for instance, my son is obsessed with the weather. Mm-hmm. And we've been telling him for years, you need to be a meteorologist. You should. And he scoffs and he scoffs. But I mean, even the eclipse, he was obsessed with watching the eclipse. But when it comes to wintertime, he's carrying around our thermometer that tells him the outside temperature and all of that.
Yeah.
Hoping that it gets cold enough for it to snow.
Right.
So he's his whole life, he's been obsessed with the weather, mm-hmm. and a program like this. I mean, if you brought in
a
meteorologist and maybe an anchor from one of the local news stations, I would make him go to this.
Totally.
Well, in fact, I reached out to one of the local meteorologists to try and get her on this show, and I haven't gotten a response back. So maybe I'll sick you on her, and
maybe we can work it a different way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sure. Exactly. But yeah, so this is a great program. So what do you have planned then going forward? How often are you going to do these, and do you have the next one decided yet?
Yeah, well, we're kind of waiting to hear back from the administration at the high school about the specific days, but we're going to start out once a month, and it's going to be on Tuesdays around lunchtime. And so any of your listeners who would like to come, I know Jamie Wright would just eat it up if you guys could make it. And, you know, maybe you can see how it works and say, you know, I used to own a construction company, or I used to own I hauled rocks for a living, and I'd like to, you know, because there's going to be some kid who's going to want to do that, and they're going to need to hear from somebody how to do that. You know, Jeff, one of the things that motivates me with the Unstoppables is when I was a kid, I was told kind of the American dream. You can be anything you want to be. That's good and bad. It's good that it's encouraging, but when you tell a kid he can do anything he wants to do, there's like a million options. It's like going to get ice cream. Used to, it was easy to order ice cream. There were 3 flavors, right?
That's right.
And now you go in there and there's 27 flavors, but then they could beat all these different ingredients into it. So you add it up, there's a million choices, right? And there's a book that came out by, I believe his last name was Schwartz. I cannot think of his first name, called The Paradox of Choice.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the interesting things that he came out, that one of the conclusions from his research is that it really does lead to paralysis. Like, for instance, if you're going to pick out jeans, you know, used to there was maybe 3 choices. Now there's 100 choices. And what happens is people struggle with, oh, you know, how am I going to pick out the right one? And then once they pick it out, then they think, it's a buyer's remorse. Did I really get the right one? You know, whereas, and I believe the same thing can apply to a career. If somebody could kind of help shape you a little bit and say, you know, I really see you doing this. I know that you think you want to do this, and I'm going to encourage you. You know, I'm going to be behind you if you choose to do this, but I really think you would be better at this. I think early on, if I could have had some people in my life that could have said, Charlie, I don't see you doing this or this, but I see you doing this. that would have saved me a lot of pain and heartache, because there are a lot of generalists out there who still don't know what they want to, quote unquote, be when they grow up. But people who can figure that out and kind of get into their groove, it just seems like it's a whole lot more satisfying when you find your sweet spot early on and can just figure out, what do I need to do to get into college or this trade school? Maybe I need to go and get some licensure through whatever. Why not figure that out early and not have to go through this trial and error process, which so many people go through?
Yeah. Well, and you're preaching to the choir. I was in my 40s before somebody stuck a microphone in my hand and I realized, wow, I really like this. And I'm one of those weird people that likes public speaking. I don't mind being in front of a crowd. Mm-hmm. I've been emceeing the Miss Rogue River pageant, and I love that for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. Of course, mm-hmm. one of the reasons is working with those young people is just so rewarding, and watching them grow right in front of you is amazing. But for me, you know, for selfishly myself, I love being in front of the crowd, even when my jokes are bombing and I'm trying to lighten the crowd up and get them ready. And you write out this joke that you think is just going to be perfect, and it's not offensive in any way, and you tell it, and maybe your delivery's not right, or maybe it's just not funny.
And it's crickets,
and you're like, wow, tough room. But I don't care. I so enjoy that. In fact, I was telling you off the air the story of the first time they handed me the microphone at the high school, and had two parents come up to me afterwards and go, we couldn't understand a word you said tonight. and I had that, it clicked at that moment, because I had two choices. I could tell the basketball coach, look, I'm not doing this again, so don't ask me. Or I could learn how to do it right. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that popped in my head was, I need to learn how to do it right. If we can get that click in a kid's head when he's 18, 19, 20, instead of 44 or whatever I was when that happened. I mean, that's huge. And so I share your vision here for sure.
Man, absolutely. And, you know, part of my dream, and I would love for this to become our community's dream, is, can you imagine if one or two young people, maybe one guy, one gal, starts a business in Rogue River that employs lots and lots of people and pays a great wage? Can you imagine how that would affect our community? You know, I think of Cabela's. You know, we used to live in rural Nebraska. And of course, you know, Cabela's started in Nebraska, like the middle of nowhere, right? And it was just this, you know, these people who had a dream, and they went for it. And now it employs, I don't know how many thousands of people. You know, they were bought out, I think, by Bass Pro Shops recently. But if you can imagine, okay, there's a place, you know, a small town, and yet they were able to employ all these people, and it's just impacted the entire community. I'd love to see something like that, you know, and one of our own, you know, to do it. Wouldn't that be amazing? A kid from Weimer, a kid from Rogue River, that would be amazing.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, you had one of your speakers was Scott Anderson, and I mean, he's built this amazing technology.
It's the largest
business.
IT company in Southern Oregon.
Yeah, and he's from right here in Rogue River.
That's
in
right.
fact, like we mentioned, he used to coach the basketball team. And it's an amazing story, and we need to duplicate that. We need to. Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. And that before you've got kind of a vision laid out here that I really want to get into. Before we get to that, you saying that about, you know, having, you know, a kid that maybe starts a business and employs a lot of people right here in our town, it reminds me of another thing I talked to Jamie Wright about, and I believed you're involved with this coffee roasting and coffee shop business. Tell us a little bit about your vision for that.
Well, the idea is, and it ties into this larger vision that I'll be sharing in a minute, but essentially is teaching kids a trade, teaching kids job skills so they can be more marketable. I mean, think about it. How many kids do you see, and they're walking around, they're texting, they don't even look you in the eye. They can't even have a conversation. When you go to meet them, you know, used to, we were taught to shake someone's hand, have a good firm handshake, not too hard, but firm, look them in the eye, you know, nice to meet you. Well, people don't learn that now. And so how do you learn that if you're not going to learn it at home? Why not learn it on the job? So, for instance, we're going to have two sides to this. There's going to be the roasting side where The students are going to be roasting coffee, and Justin Wright is kind of heading that up, and they're writing off for some grants and so forth as we're speaking to get that. And Dutch Bros might be actually either giving us a roaster or selling us a very inexpensive roaster. So you're going to have kids on the school side roasting coffee, so they're learning a trade. It'll be like an elective, you know, that you can do. And then they're going to sell that coffee to the coffee shop. The coffee shop will be a for-profit business, but it will be designed so that it can employ as many kids as possible from the school. And so once you, you know, you're working there, then all of a sudden you're learning, you know, not only how to operate a cash register and how to make change, but
how to count change. Yes,
right, which is a rarity. But you're also learning how to look people in the eye, how to deal with a difficult customer. How in the world do you handle that? You're learning about work ethic, about responsibility, about delegation. Those are huge, and to be able to teach our own kids that would be huge. So that's sort of the idea behind it. Things don't ever work as fast as you want.
Oh,
but,
no.
but we're moving. We're moving that way.
Yeah. Well, and I had Jamie on the show, and she'll, I'm sure, will be on again. She's always willing to make time mm-hmm. for us here at Rogue Talk. And we had talked about that, the coffee roasting, but it was really in the early planning stages. And for those of you who don't know, he mentioned Justin Wright. That's Jamie's husband. Jamie, obviously, being the principal at Rogue River Junior Senior High School, and her husband kind of had a hobby of roasting beans. And, well, now he's going to get to put that hobby into practice, which I think is great.
It is great.
And what a wonderful program for the kids. So, yeah, I definitely wanted to get that in because I had talked to Jamie about that, but I didn't realize that you were the guy on the other side of this. So it's great to see that, make that connection, because I think that's a wonderful thing. And I'm a huge coffee lover, so in fact I'm still waiting for some sample beans from Justin, so we'll try and make that happen.
I've had some of his coffee. It's really good.
Well, good. I'm gonna have to bug Jamie, because she promised me some beans. So so let's move on. You have a vision of kind of where you would like, I guess you could say, a vision for the community at mm-hmm. large. Mm-hmm. So let's go over those points, and you can tell me each point, and we can kind of talk about them here.
Sure. Well, you know, this is kind of the way I see this whole thing is I have this vision, and our church has adopted this vision, and not everybody's going to agree on theological points and so forth, but I think we can agree that we all want our community to be better, and we can all agree on some of these points that, you know, it'd be awesome if, you know, we had less crime and we had less unemployment and less opiate addiction. You know, I mean, really.
Yeah.
So basically, let me just share some of the points. And we wrote this back in last year. So it's a 10-year vision. But, you know, a vision is like a snapshot of the future. And it's where you want to be. And, you know, even if we only get 25 or 30% of this, think of how much better Rogue River will be. So here's the vision, and the first part, some people may or may not agree with. This is obviously I'm a pastor of a church. So number one, I would love to see a nationwide spiritual awakening begin in Rogue River, Oregon, and expand throughout our nation and world. Number two, we would love to see suicides in Weimar and Rogue River, Oregon, to drop by 75%.
Yeah, and let's stop on that one briefly. 75% seems like a huge number, but I would imagine that you've got to understand, in a smaller community like this, 75% may be the difference between, you know, going from, and I'm just going to pull these numbers out of the air, mm-hmm. but, you know, going from 8 down to 2, I guess it would be. I'm not real good at math in my head, but so it seems like a huge number, but in a small community like this,
it makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference.
Huge difference. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, we've even brought in a speaker already to speak to some folks. We're going to try to get him into the high school, middle school. And his name escapes me at this moment. But essentially, he equips people to help talk someone out of suicide, you know, and obviously calling 911 is often involved in that, but it's called QPR. It's the system of being able to to be able to ask the right questions and to be able to help them. And I think that's one of the things we're already doing to get toward that. But yeah, if we could, you know, just affect even one life, it's worth it.
Well, and I think just to make one more point before we move to the next one is, this is an important thing, I think, for the youth, because if they can recognize the sort of depression in their friends that would lead to suicide, they can be many times more help than a parent or a teacher, even, because they're the peer. And so for I think some awareness for kids to recognize those warning signs could go a long way in reaching that 75%.
And that goes along with the bully and the online bullying. And that's something that I don't put up with at all. And we've even challenged some people with that, and they didn't like it, but it's going to stop. It's got to stop.
It needs to stop.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of it, I would say, as someone who, you know, grew up with in a large group of friends, I went to a school that would be more like a 6A school here in Oregon, and you encounter all sorts of things. But on the other side of that bullying problem is equipping kids to handle the challenges of life. And some of those challenges are going to be, there's going to be bullies when you get, we can try and stop it in schools, but when they get out of school, there's bullies in the workplace
too.
And I think some of the touchy-feely parenting techniques that have taken hold over the last several years are not equipping kids to handle the real world. So I would take it to the other side too. And we need to not only teach these kids that it's just really evil to bully another kid, but we need to equip them to handle those those challenges in life also,
so they can handle it on their own.
Exactly.
Yeah absolutely. So, and moving on, the next one is to see the unemployment rate to go down less than 4%, which would be huge. Police see measures of crime drop by 50% in each category. You know, there's some crime here. There's probably not as much as other places, but, you know, that could be huge.
Well, we've talked about it here on Rogue Talk quite a bit. It's sort of one that sticks in my craw a little bit, because I live on Broadway, and one of the flop houses in town is on Broadway. And so you watch the police blotter, and when you see your street coming up every week on the police blotter, and it's not necessarily crime that's happening here in town, but they're constantly picking up these people that are failure to appear. They've committed other crimes, but their crime right now is failure to appear.
Yeah.
Or in one case, it was failure to register as a sex offender, which was a little disturbing on my street.
Oh, boy.
But so, yeah, I share that vision for sure with you, that, you know, lowering the crime rate in any way we can is going to be beneficial to everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so the next one would be one of my favorites, which is our public school test scores are ranked in the top 10% in the state of Oregon. That is a big, hairy, audacious goal. Right now, I don't know exactly where they're at, but I do know that that is a huge goal, and to be able to move in that direction would be amazing. It's almost like a catch-22. You know, do businesses want to move to a place where the kids are underperforming in school? If you have better schools, you're going to obviously attract more businesses. We saw this happen in a commuter town, a bedroom community we lived in Alabama. It's outside of Mobile, Alabama, a town called Saraland. And they basically made a decision to break away from, it was a countywide school system, so they created their own school system. And what happened is they raised a lot of money, and they had some bond issues that went out. But anyway, long story short, they were able to improve their schools. And so their schools are really the best in the area now. As a result, businesses are now wanting to move there, and people are actually moving into that area just so their kids can be in school. So that helps the tax base. It just improves everything. So that is something that I am very committed to, and that's one of the things behind Unstoppables. You know, a lot of kids aren't motivated because they don't know where they're headed. Once you figure out, you know, I want to be a veterinarian, all of a sudden it's like, I think I do need to make straight A's. there's a reason to.
Yes. Yes. Well, I liken it to the sports programs. My son, in part, not 100%, but in part, his motivation to get good grades is because he wants to play sports. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't get the grades, he's not allowed to play sports, not just by the school, but we hold him to a higher standard.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
And I've seen that over and over again. Sure. And it doesn't have to be sports. It can be other things. But we have to find ways to motivate these kids to do the right thing and to get the good grades.
Exactly.
And just telling them that that's what you're supposed to do isn't always enough.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, the sixth one is businesses are seeking to relocate to Rogue River because it's such a wonderful place to live. I would love to see businesses by 2026 to see the number of new business starts to go up 500%, which that equates to 65 new businesses will be started in the year 2026. And, you know, they say that so one out of three will make it, kind of thing. So you work the math, and it's between 13 and 33%. Between 13 and 33 businesses will actually make it long term. Well, can you imagine though? Let's say 13 businesses make it long term that have been started. That's huge. That's creating jobs for people. It's bringing in more money for people to spend, and helps all the existing businesses. So I'm real excited about that.
Well, and that goal ties back into some of the other points we've made. You need to lessen the crime. You need to improve the schools. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's not going to be an attractive place for businesses to want to come. But if you get the businesses starting to come, it creates a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. You start building new housing, which means you're getting more families in. That makes the schools better.
Yep.
It all works hand in hand.
It does.
A process that you have to, you know, take step by step. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, everybody has to buy into this. Some people might not know how can I lower unemployment or how can I help with whatever. But, you know, maybe I can show up and help tutor a kid. You know, one of the things I'd love to see us start is a lunch buddy program where we get volunteer. And, you know, if you think about it, seniors who are retired and have time, you know, they have the time. They can show up once a week and have lunch with an at-risk teen or an at-risk kid, you know, a third grader, whatever. That could make a huge difference in someone's life. That, again, would help improve test scores. It would help lower crime, greater chance of graduating. So that might help the unemployment rate and so forth. So it really all works together if everybody does their part. And then the final part is the drug addiction in Weimar and Rogue River is reduced by 50%. That, again, is a big, hairy, audacious dream, a big goal, because we're facing so many things that are pushing the other way toward that. But I'm just excited about that possibility.
Yeah, so. And we know that is – it's a real problem. It's mm-hmm. And not just in our community. I mean, I'm sure we have our share of it, but it's a real problem. I mean, you can say nationwide, but I'll just kind of keep it to even just Southern Oregon. The drug problem in this area is stark. And it often gets overlooked. I mean, we hear about the different, because it's such a small area, the news, they cover, you know, it seems like they cover every arrest that's made in the county, but they really don't. But so many of them are related to drugs.
Sure.
Well, if somebody's arrested for dealing drugs, that means there's several people out there just
that
connected to that one person that are doing drugs.
Yeah, sure.
And it's a huge problem. And then to me, and this may be controversial, but it's not controversial to me. This legalization of marijuana has, not that marijuana is a super dangerous drug per se, but it every time we lessen the severity of things that we probably shouldn't be doing, it's a dangerous path we're going down. In fact, I had talked to someone from the county that had come to open house at the high school last year, and we were trying to arrange an interview with someone from the county, and I'm going to get on that again, but it kind of went to the wayside. The county had, the county health services department had been going through a lot of, well, at the time they were doing some audits, and then just after that was when they, when the mental health services lost their contract, and so they've been in kind of a upheaval, and so I've kind of backed away from that, but we wanted to get someone on to talk about the effects on the young people, not so much using the drugs, but the effect of legalizing it, how it's changed their perceptions of it. And so I think that this legalization of marijuana has done nothing but exacerbated the larger drug problem. And I don't mean that in that, oh, it's a gateway drug to heavier drugs. In some cases, it might be. But it's just like any kind of sin. Anytime you try and take away the sting, it leads to more sin. And I, at least in my mind, that's how I see it. And so this legalization, it's kind of taken away some of the stigma of what, you know, can be a bad, it's not necessarily a killer drug that can kill you with an overdose or something, but I mean, look at the movies of the 80s and 90s where the stoner character, he's always this, hey, dude. Well, that character doesn't exist because somebody created it out of thin air. It was somebody they knew in school that was stoned all the time, and that's how they acted because they're destroying their brain. And so I just feel like this legalization, it's not helping us with this overall drug problem.
Well, I agree. And just anecdotally, and I can quote you a lot of statistics about drugs because we've researched it a lot, but anecdotally, just in my own experience, I have never in my life, and I cannot name a single person that I know who's either a heroin addict or a meth addict that did not start with marijuana. I can't name a single one.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously.
And so that's, and that kind of goes to the gateway drug. You know, yes, there are lots of people that use marijuana
that never move on to anything else, but
it doesn't mean it's not a gateway for the ones that did move on. So yeah, I agree with you.
But anyway, so, you know, if we could see these kinds of things happen, even if we see only, let's say, 30 or 40% of these things come true, can you imagine how much better of a place Rogue River would be? And, you know, I've got a lot at stake. I've got a 3-year-old and an 8-year-old. It's very personal. It's very real for me to see some of these things happen because this is the future that we're going to leave for our kids. And, you know, I know it's easy for some older folks especially to check out and say, well, you know, I'm just going to kind of cocoon and, you know, put up a big gate, you know, and have some nice security. But that's really not the real solution. You know, the real solution is what can we do? How can we get involved? And we all can play a part. And again, we don't have to agree theologically on all the fine points. We don't even have to agree 100% about marijuana, but to be able to say, you know, I want to do what I can to invest in someone's life, you know, so they don't have to escape into this drug or don't have to go and do these stupid things, you know, that are going to hurt themselves. What a difference that would make.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, having a difference in young people's lives is, I could sit here and talk about this all day because it's a passion of mine, you know, whether it's, you know, coaching basketball or it's being the MC of Miss Rogue River, or even being the play-by-play announcer for the games, it being involved in these young people's lives is one of the most important things we can do. But we're going to run out of time here today. And like I said, I could sit here and talk about this all day. It just gets me really going to talk about the young people and how we can help them. But let my listeners know, how can they get involved, whether it may be with the Unstoppables or even in things we can do to implement your kind of your mission statement here?
Well, let me give everybody my phone number. It's I'm Charlie Grenade. It's spelled G-R-A-N-A-D-E. My number is 541-291-2714. That's 541-291-2714. That's my cell phone. You can text me. You can call me, like me me on Facebook. Also, the Unstoppables of Rogue River is the name of the club. And you can actually go on Facebook and look it up and then like us. And all you have to do is hit the like button and you can get all of our updates. We can tell you when we're going to meet and so forth. And then my email, if anybody wants it, is charliegrenade@gmail.com. And that's GRANADE.
Okay, and I will put on, of course, we always put these shows out to our website afterwards.
Sure.
And I will, when I put this show up, I will put a link. I will put your phone number and your email in that link so that if you didn't write it down right now, you can go back. Well, you can go back and download the show and listen to it again. I'd love if you did that. But you can go to the website, go to the show note. When you click on this particular episode, it'll be right there in the write-up. I'll have his number so you can get a hold of him. And we're just going to run out of time. But Charlie, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
This is a vision I share with you for sure. Mm. You know, 99 if not 100%. And
if we can all buy into at least a piece of this, it would be amazing.
Yeah, and I'd love to be involved more with the Unstoppables as it moves forward.
Sure.
If there's ways we can help, or if there's ones that are more of an interest to me, I definitely would love to attend if I can. Mm-hmm. So, well, we thank you for coming in again.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to have to take a break here because I'm just using up all the time. But thanks again, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Where the rooster crows. 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The National Hurricane Center says Hurricane Harvey has powered up to 125 miles an hour as it bears down on the Texas coast with its eye about 60 miles east-southeast of Corpus Christi, Texas. The center said in its Friday afternoon update that the hurricane is traveling northwest at 10 miles an hour. Hurricane-force winds are not quite ashore, but are within a dozen miles of land. Tropical storm force winds have already been measured in Aransas Pass, Texas. The Hurricane Center says some additional strengthening is possible before Harvey makes landfall overnight. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up by 30 points to close at 21,814. The NASDAQ dropped by 6 points, the S&P up by 4. Oil climbed 44 cents to $47.87 a barrel. This is SRN News.
Broadcasting on 100,000 milliwatts.
Don't try this at home.
Ow. 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And I want to thank Pastor Charlie Grenade once again for coming on the show. What a great interview. And it's such a fun topic for me to talk about the future of our youth that we really went pretty long. So I don't have a whole lot of time in this last segment, but I wanted to catch some of the upcoming events so that you're aware of what's going on. And we mentioned this last week, but I'll read this press release once again for the Oregon Old Time Fiddlers. The Oregon Old Time Fiddlers Association will hold its next public jam on Saturday, September 2nd from 1 to 3 at the Fruitdale Grange Hall, and that's on Parkdale Drive in Grants Pass. Acoustic musicians are welcome to sit in and play. Dancing is encouraged. Admission is by donation, and questions can be directed to Judy. And her number is 541-779-8145. And a couple more things I wanted to get to in the Chieftain Sports. A lot of sports getting ready to get up and going. It's got some jamborees planned and all different things. Volleyball, as we mentioned, has a new interim coach right now, Nadine Roper. And they are apparently going to skip the Jamboree, but they will be hosting Prospect Charter on August 31st. And then boys soccer, I don't have the information on their Jamboree. I tried to get that before I went on the air, and I wasn't able to get that done. But they will open their season at South Umpqua against a South Umpqua Riddle combination team. That'll be on August 31st. girls soccer had their jamboree today. In fact, the boys team went to cheer on their classmates there at the girls jamboree, and they will open the season on September 2nd at Douglas. And finally, the football team, they have their jamboree tomorrow, and they'll be hosting that this year. That'll be at 5 o'clock, and they have three games scheduled, and those are scrimmage games, so they're, I don't know how long each one is, but they have games scheduled at 5, 6, and 6:40, I believe. But you can check the OSAA website for that. But then they will have their opener of the season at home, and that'll be September 1st, and they'll be hosting Myrtle Point. And, of course, we'll have that game right here on 94.3 The Bridge. So as you regular listeners know, this is an exciting time of the year for me. I love the high school sports, and I love covering them here on The Bridge, so I'm really looking forward to this season getting underway. And so that's going to be all the time we've got, so I hope you'll check out those sporting events, and I hope you'll get a hold of Charlie and get involved with kind of his vision for Rogue River, or maybe get involved with the Unstoppables of Rogue River. Either way, I think he's got a great thing going there, and you should definitely take a look at that. And when I post the show on the website, I'll try and give you his contact information on the posting for today's show, so look for that later on this afternoon or this evening. That'll go up on the website. And so that's all the time we've got. So once again, everybody, be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.